Aloha everybody, this is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum and welcome to our Ohana podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Jim Hochberg, who's a local attorney here in the state of Hawaii. He's been licensed to practice here since 1984. He's been working as an allied attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom and fighting for the protection of religious liberties here in Hawaii. So welcome, Jim.
All right, so why don't you give our listeners who may not be aware of what's going on a little bit of background so they understand how we got to this point.
Okay, and so what we're going to address is this lawsuit that was filed several years ago by two local atheists, Mitchell Kale and his girlfriend Holly Huber, against a bunch of churches that were renting high school or elementary school, middle school, cafeteria or theaters or whatever across the state. Basically, the ability or the legal right of these atheist plaintiffs to bring this action against the churches with respect to their renting of schools was under a special statute that we're challenging. And by the way, I'm local counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, representing Calvary Chapel, Central Oahu, and One Love Ministries, two of the defendants. The other defendants settled out. They were Foursquare churches that had separate counsel, and they, I'm pretty sure, had insurance defense that provided money to pay to get out of the case. And contrary to popular opinion or news reporting or whatever, of the $750,000 that they paid to settle the claims, not a penny of it went to the plaintiffs. It all went to the Department of Education. So anyway, these plaintiffs sued because they felt that the churches were committing fraud on the Department of Education by paying less rent for the use of the school facilities than the atheist plaintiffs thought should have been paid. And they brought the suit under a statute that allows whistleblowers with insider information in the government to sue on behalf of the government to recover fraudulently obtained benefits that were detrimental to the government. And so when they filed the lawsuit, Alliance Defending Freedom and I, on behalf of Calvary Chapel and One Love, challenged their legal standing, their right to use this statute, because they didn't work for the DOE, they didn't work for the state of Hawaii, they were not insider whistleblowers, and they were not using non-publicly available information. So we asked the court to throw the case out. The question of the court said no, so we've appealed that ruling. There has not been a trial. Nothing else has happened. We're asking the appellate court to overturn the trial judge's ruling that they should be allowed to proceed under the statute. And what I wanted people to know is they are invited to attend the Intermediate Court of Appeals argument in the Supreme Court courtroom on South King Street on Friday, May 19th at 9 a.m. It's not going to take very long. There's a total of 1 hour set aside for all of the argument, and each side gets a half an hour. So people can come, they can sit in the courtroom, they can pray quietly, they can listen, they can't say anything, obviously, and there won't be any trial testimonies. It will just be the three appellate court judges asking questions of the two attorneys and the attorneys answering the questions. So anyway, the address is 417 South King Street, Ali'i Olani. Holly is it's behind the King Kamehameha statue across from Iolani Palace. So if you get there at 8:30 in the morning on Friday, May 19th, 2017, you'll be there for the 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. oral argument. I do urge you to come. It will be interesting and sort of introduction to religious liberty litigation in Hawaii. So that's the first item that I wanted us to talk about today.
Okay, so before we move on to the second item, just, you know, by way of understanding for those who may be new to this situation, are Holly Hubert and Mitch Kale, are they currently residents of the state of Hawaii?
The last I was aware, they had moved to, I think, Minnesota. That was a couple of years ago. They may or may not come back here to attend the hearing, but it doesn't matter because the parties don't need to be there. This is just arguing over whether the trial judge made a mistake in her ruling or not. So it's just the lawyers and the judges.
Okay, and what happens after the case is heard on the 19th? What is the next step? Can you give us a little bit of an idea of if it goes one way or the other, what the next steps would be?
Sure. Basically, there are, in this particular case, about three alternative resolutions that the panel of judges can come up with, and they're probably not going to have their decision on the day of the hearing. So we'll finish the hearing. At some point in the next however many days, weeks, months, whatever, they don't have any deadlines, they will come up with their decision. So what's kind of interesting is in the middle of the case, the law was amended by the state legislature, and the amendment addresses the argument that we're making that Mitch Cale doesn't qualify to use this law and he's not using non-publicly available information. That happened in 2012. So there's two statutes that the court has to look at, the original one and then the one from 2012 forward. So they could rule that on one side of that line, the plaintiffs do not have the right to use the case, and on the other side of that line, they do have the right to use the case. Or the court could rule on both sides of the line, they either do have the right to use the case or don't have the right to bring the case. So if the court rules that they have no right under this statute to file this lawsuit, the case is over. And it's a done deal. If the court rules that on either side of the line they have the right to bring the case, then we simply go back to the trial court and we're essentially at the very beginning of the case. So we will do discovery, we will put these guys under oath and be able to ask them all kinds of questions under oath, not necessarily limited to the work they did on this lawsuit, but we can inquire about anything that is likely to lead to admissible evidence. The questioning doesn't have to be relevant to this case. So that'll be kind of fun because these guys have been doing a lot of public stuff here for a long time, and it would be very interesting to get into their history and why they did what to who, when, and how, all of which they, you know, have to answer under oath. After we do discovery and they do discovery, then motions will be filed based on the facts of the case and the law of the case, and then if those don't end up in the case being resolved, there would be a trial. This is years down the road from here. And then after the trial, there could be another appeal of the result of the trial. So this case is still in its infancy, even though it was filed 3 years ago.
Okay, and as we wrap up, and Jim, we'll bring you back after, of course, the 19th, so that you can give us an update, and we'll try to keep people in the community aware of what's going on. But right before we end, what message do you want to give to people who might be confused about this separation of church and state when it comes to public property, like, say, a church that uses a public school to do their church services?
Well, the state law in Hawaii and in most other states specifically says that with respect to Department of Education resources, including buildings, land, and other resources, during non-instructional periods of time, when the kids are not in class, the facilities must be made available to the public for public use, which is why you see rallies and voting and political speeches and the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the soccer fields. The schools get used by all of these parts of our community because of those statutes. Because if those statutes weren't there, the public schools would be these huge opportunity facilities going to waste. And so once the state has passed this law mandating that the public be allowed to use the DOE facilities during non-instructional hours, they cannot say, oh, but religious organizations are excluded. That's not part of this case. This case is simply Mitch Kale and Holly Huber having determined through whatever their process is that the schools should have paid more rent for the periods of time they used, or the churches should have paid more rent for the periods of time they used the schools. And that's not a religious liberty issue. It's just Mitch Kale and Holly Huber not liking organized religious entities. It's really not a First Amendment problem.
This is so fascinating, and I hope that our listeners are starting to understand that there are deeper issues that are happening with people like Holly Huber and Mitch Kale, who seem to have an animus toward the faith-based community. So we need to remember to keep them in prayer, as always, and to show up on the 19th at 9 a.m. And can you give us that address again, Jim?
Yeah, and one thing people need to realize, this is not simply a case filed in the state of Hawaii. This is the first case filed across the entire country where the atheist part of the community are challenging the church use of school facilities under this statute. And if this case is not defeated here in Hawaii, the anticipation is that atheists across the country will bring similar lawsuits, and so that's why it's critical that we win the case, and part of what the community can do to help us win the case, of course, is to be in prayer about it, that the judges would have the right understanding and the right wisdom and all those typical things that we pray about for judges in court cases. But the address is 417 South King Street. The easiest way to recognize it is King Kamehameha statue across from Iolani Palace stands right in front of this building, and the courtroom is on the second floor. So you need to come a little early. It's a courtroom. They have those metal detectors. You have to go through the security process before you're allowed to go upstairs. So if you come a half hour early, you should be good. And if you do come, please come and say hi. We'll be up front.
Great. Okay, so the last question we have, and I'm sure some of our listeners may be wondering this. Now, because you work for, you're an allied attorney for Alliance Defending Freedom, what if somebody wanted to donate to this cause, Jim? What if somebody wanted to help fight this? Is there a way they could donate? Because a lot of this is pro bono work on your behalf. Is there a place they can go to make a donation if they want to help?
Yeah, actually, Alliance Defending Freedom is a charity. It's a corporation that's registered with the IRS under the 501c3 education arm. And so any contribution that is made is tax deductible. And I do this work pro bono. There are 2,500 attorneys across the country. We're doing all kinds of different kind of work. And if you go to alliancedefendingfreedom.org online, they can. There's like an online donation thing. I'm looking at it right now on my computer. It's adflegal.org/donate. ADF, which stands for Alliance Defending Freedom, legal, legal.org/donate.
Great. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And Jim, as always, we appreciate your hard work on behalf of the faith-based community in Hawaii. And stay tuned, everybody. We'll keep you posted online and through our network at hawaiifamilyforum.org if you would like to stay on top of this information and to be able to help us in the future when issues come up. All right, so let's let Jim go on this issue, and we'll see him on another issue in the very near future.